If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Oh, bless the Lord. So he says to Moses, he says, look here, I know what they're going through. God, how can you know what bondage is about? You've never been in slavery. That's like this generation goes around talking about, child, if I had been back there in 1860 and they told me to do something, you would have done it. You looking at the 17th century through 21st century eyes. They ain't had no guns till Nat Turner came. And he didn't last long. You can't look at the past and say what you would have done. You would have been saying the same things the rest of the people would have said. So he's saying, but I know what you're going through because I want to know. I want to feel it. You know why? Because that'll give me some reason why you act the way you act. Because God doesn't understand disobedience. But when he looks and says, I know why you disobeyed me. You're under pressure. You're under pressure, and you need some help. So he'll chastise us. But I digress. That's the pastor. He says, I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Watch. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of, or the, under the control of the Egyptians. And I'm going to bring them out of the land unto a good land, a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Highlight that passage because this is what it's telling you. That our God does not bring us out of sin to put us back into bondage. When God brings you out, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you with me? And so when God does bring you out of something, it is with the intent that you learn how to be free. You don't need to learn how to be delivered. You need to learn how to stay free. You don't need to learn how to be healed. You need to learn to prevent those things that made you sick anyway. And so he says here, but notice this. I'm bringing you to a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, which is a metaphor about the beauty and the greatness of that land. He says, I'm bringing you to the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I'm not just bringing you into an empty forest. I'm bringing you into a land where people have already lived. Why? Because I don't want you to have to work so hard to build houses. There are going to be houses there when you get there. They went in before you to build the houses that you need, and all you're going to do when you go in and drive them out is move in their house. There are blessings waiting for you that you will never walk into because you have not been taught how to walk into them. You've been taught how to shout, to dance, to speak in tongues. You've been taught how to do all the spiritual things, but you haven't been taught how to make money. You haven't been taught how to start a business. You haven't been taught how to manage your checkbook. You haven't been taught how to love your husband. You haven't been taught how to care for your wives. You haven't been taught how to raise your children. You have not been taught how to live the Christian life. You have not been taught how to bless them that curse you. You have not been taught how to forgive people who harm you. You have not been taught how to give God what belongs to him, how to give yourself enough to live on. You have not been taught the principles of how to live successfully down here. And so what we do is we magnify the spirituality, but we walk in ignorance with the humanity. And it is in that area where the devil defeats us. He does not defeat us in our spirituality. He doesn't care if you talk in tongues all day. He doesn't care if you prophesy. He doesn't care if you see angels, walk with them, talk with them, hear their wings flutter. But he is not going to allow you to pay your bills on time. He is not going to allow you to live debt free. He is not going to allow you to get rid of the poverty mindset because he knows that as soon as you done talking in tongues, you got to pay your mortgage and you have to give God what's his. But he doesn't want you to learn those principles of how to walk in freedom. Hallelujah. I'm sending you into the place of the Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. In other words, I know where you're going. Woo! He repeats it later on in the same chapter, down around the 17th verse. He said, ooh, glory, back up to the 16th verse. He said, go and gather the elders together. See, any leader of God must bring the leaders together on a regular basis, or the group cannot move. And when leaders are not together, then the body will not be together. He said, gather the elders and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of the Egyptians unto the land of the Canaanites, to the land of the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. When you look at God telling Moses to go to the elders, he said, you go and tell them that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me. That's the relationship concept. The God of your fathers came to me. But when you go to Pharaoh, say the God of the Hebrews. Why? Don't bring relationship to Pharaoh. He won't understand it. If you say to Pharaoh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants to let his people go, who the heck are they? He doesn't even say the people of Israel, because that's a relational connection. He said, tell him the Lord God of the Hebrews. In other words, when God delivers you, he is going to deliver you in a way where even the people who don't belong to him will know you're delivered. And you don't need to explain it. Stop trying to explain your blessing. Well, how you get that job, child? I don't know. It's the favor of God. And you don't have it on you, I'm sorry to say, because you're a Jebusite. You're a Hittite. You're an Amorite. You're an Amalekite. Me, I'm a child of Godite. And there are blessings that, in fact, when you look up the definition of the word manna that he rained upon them, the Hebrew definition of the word manna is, what is it? It means that you can't always explain your blessings. You don't know why God does what he does for us. And let's be honest. It's us, the 730 people. Some of us, if we're honest, you'll know that some of your greatest blessings have come after you've been disobedient. God has so much mercy, you don't know what to do with it. God don't use the threat of hell to drive you close. God use his love and mercy. When God finishes putting mercy on you, you'll come back to him and say, hold on, what am I doing over here? My father. When I was in junior high school and having just come to the Lord, I met this girl and all the boys wanted her and she liked me and I knew that I had just come to the Lord and I knew that nothing could come of this relationship. And so I'm walking down the street and I said, Lord, I said, she likes me. I'm giving up on you so I can be with her. And that started at 65th and Ogons. So I told God that I was leaving him. I was leaving him for Eileen. I said, I'm leaving you. I said, because I can't do this. I said, I'm leaving you. God didn't say a word to me. 66 in Ogons didn't say a word. I'm just getting my mind ready to backslide. And 67th, nothing happened. 68th, nothing happened. By the time I got to 69th Avenue, the Lord spoke to me. Here's what he said. He didn't say, you dirty, rotten, filthy, fornicating adulterer. He said, haven't I loved you? He said, what have I done to you that's going to make you turn against me? He said that at 69th Avenue. By the time I got to Andrews, I was, God, forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. She ain't nothing to me. I said, I'd rather have Jesus. How did he get me to that place? By telling me how much he loved me. By telling me that he never turned on me. Why would I turn on him? How many times has the enemy put into your mind to leave church, to walk away from God, but God woke you up that morning anyway? God covered you with his protection. He didn't let that nasty devil get a hold of you. He healed your body, delivered you from ungodliness, and walked with you even when you didn't want to walk with him. He said, whoa, glory to God, I'm happy now. I've seen. Hallelujah. He said, now, when you get down there, you tell him the God of the Hebrews has met with us to let us go. Now, I'm going to show you something. Go to Exodus chapter 5. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in, told Pharaoh Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I don't know no God of Israel. See, if you're going to speak for God, say it right. God told him to say the God of the Hebrews. He went in and got deep. The God of the Israelites. Pharaoh said, I don't know no blooming Israelites. Don't go prophesying to people speaking in tongues. They don't know what you're saying. You walk up to somebody. Then they look at you, and then they don't want you to be embarrassed, so they quicken. Oh, yes. Just so you think you're doing something. Yes. And now just stand and ask them, what'd you say? How can I rejoice in ignorance? All right, so now you're out. All right, let's go a little further. Watch this. Watch this. Those were the songs I was rocked to sleep on. I'm only 30. Now, when you go further, the children of Israel finally come out. They finally come out. Then by the time you get down to chapter 13, it says, verse 18, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. So in other words, they were all grouped together. They were connected. And he said, and Moses took the bones of Joseph because they promised him so forth and so forth and so forth. Then the Lord went before them as a pillar of cloud by day to lead them in the way, and at night a pillar of fire. Why? The pillar of cloud by day was also not only the leading but the covering, because the desert is so hot, the cloud kept them from having sunstroke. The fire at night is because in the desert it's so cold, not only did the fire guide them, it warmed them. What the devil sends into your life to destroy you, God uses it to strengthen you. You see, we don't think about the natural provision of the cloud and the fire. We only look at the spirituality. God led them by a cloud. Come on, people. You got to understand the topography. It's hot in the desert. It's hot. There's wild animals running around. You think God just, I'm going to kill all the animals. No, he kept them away. He reminded them later in Deuteronomy. He kept them away. But they were out there. Why did he do all that? Because he's trying to teach his people how to live in a new land. When we come to Christ, we want deepness, but not practicality.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.